We have a tradition on Memorial Day that to recognize those people who have lost friends and loved ones, given the ultimate sacrifice and protection of our freedoms. So if you're here this morning and you've lost a family member, a loved one, someone that was close to you in one of our battles and wars, will you just stand up and so we can say thank you for the sacrifice that they made in honoring them. Great, here's a couple here. Anywhere else over here? Great, let's give them a hand. Thank you, thank you. We're going to enjoy Memorial Day this weekend because of the sacrifice of so many. Hey, out in the courtyard today, there's another table that has some packets that look like this, little brochures. And, you know, one of the great threats in our world today is extremism. And next month begins the month of Ramadan for the Muslim people. And they're taking a month and they fast every day from dawn until dusk. And they don't eat or drink anything during the day, and they perform all kinds of spiritual practices. And so we want to pray for the Muslim world during the month of Ramadan. And we're going to be praying that God continues to do his work among those people and among that religious group. God is reaching thousands upon thousands of Muslims for Christ. And he's doing it through prayer and through men and women who are working hard to present Jesus to the Muslim world. And so we want to encourage you, as you go out to the courtyard today, to take one of these packets and follow the month of Ramadan. And it'll educate you a little bit about the Muslim world and what they believe and how we can pray for them. And so that's going to be out there today. We want to encourage you to do that as well. All right, well, let's grab our Bibles. You know, we're going to enter into the summer months. Memorial Day weekend is typically the launching of our summer. And kids are getting out of school and college students are coming home. People are planning their vacations and schedules now become different than during the school year. You're going to be visiting family, which I know you need a lot of prayer for. Family be visiting you. And it might be some great times ahead, lots of relaxing. And, you know, this time in the culture of America, I know this summer there's going to be a lot of hot topics to discuss, politics and children and cultural issues. But I thought I would just take some time this morning and just remind us of some simple truths from God's Word. Some simple truths from the Bible about how to make this summer count. And they probably won't be revolutionary. They probably would just be great reminders for all of us on how to spend the next 90 days or so. How to step back from the normal routine and how to step back from the normal pressures of life and to spend some time making this summer count. So I have four thoughts for you this morning. I'm going to be going around to different parts of the Bible. If you want to jump around with me, you can, or just write some of these verses down or take some notes. But this morning I want to start with this idea, this reminder, that to make summer count, let's keep the gate open. Let's keep the gate open. You know, faith is work, isn't it? Living for Jesus is work. Sometimes it's easier than other times. Sometimes it's just flat out difficult routine. In 1 Timothy chapter 4, verses 7 and 8, Paul is writing to a young pastor, and he is encouraging young Timothy to share with his congregation these special instructions. He says in 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 7 and 8, "But have nothing to do with worldly fables, fit only for old women. On the other hand, discipline yourself for the purpose of godliness. For bodily discipline is only of little profit, but godliness is profitable for all things, since it holds promise for the present life and also for the life to come." The word discipline is mentioned twice. That means it's just hard work. Turn to your neighbor and say, hey, faith is hard work. It's hard work. But tell them now, faith works. Faith works. See, God didn't give us a system to follow just so that we could follow a system. He tells us in this instructions here that spiritual discipline or spiritual work, spiritual habits, they give a promise for the present life. That means it's going to help us today and for eternal life. So I want to share four ideas with you this morning to help your faith grow, to help your faith take off maybe as never before, or if you've been following Jesus for a long time, just to remind us what keeps us on track. And number one, keep the gate open. I want to encourage us this morning to make space this summer for the assistance of the Holy Spirit. Way back in the book of Psalms, Psalm chapter 4, verses 3 and 4, we see God's instructions through King David. Psalm chapter 4, verse 3. It says, "But know that the Lord has set apart the godly man or woman for himself. Tremble and do not sin. Meditate in your heart upon your bed and be still." King David is the king of one of the greatest kings of Israel, and he has every resource at his disposal. But as he lies on his bed at night, he wants to remember to keep the gate of his relationship open with God. He says, God sets apart the godly woman or man for himself. God wants to use us. God wants to do things in us and through us. And in order for him to have the ability to go to do his work in us and through us, it says in verse 4, "Tremble and do not sin. Meditate in your heart upon your bed and just be still." What a practice to remember that this summer, let's make sure that when we're lying on our bed at night, everything is good between us and God. Keep the gate open. You know, one of the greatest things that we have received as followers of Jesus is the person of the Holy Spirit. And the person of the Holy Spirit has been given to us by God to assist us in becoming and doing what God wants us to be and to do. I'm going to go to Romans chapter 8 and verse 16. Romans chapter 8 and verse 16 says this: "The Spirit himself," capital S, the Holy Spirit, "testifies with our spirit that we are children of God." See, part of your human makeup is an immaterial portion of your being called your spirit. And your spirit and my spirit are the innermost part of who we are. We're made of flesh and bones, we're made of soul, and we're made of spirit. And the spirit is the part of me that connects with God. And so he tells us in this verse that the Spirit of God will speak to our spirit, telling us, "Hey, you're his. You're his." Part of our growth in following Jesus is having the assurance that no matter what's going on in our life, that we're his. And part of keeping the gate open is remembering that we belong to him. If you go one book to the right, to 1 Corinthians chapter 2, 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 11 and 12, Paul again brings up this topic of the innermost part of who you and I are, our spirit, and he gives us a different dimension to it. He says in verse 10 of 1 Corinthians chapter 2, "For to us God revealed them through the Spirit, for the Spirit searches all things, even the depths of God." Again, it's the Holy Spirit. So God is a spirit, and in the center of who God is his spirit, and the spirit knows the depths of God. Just as my human spirit knows the depths of who I am, so the Holy Spirit knows the deepest parts of who God is. And then verse 11, it says, "For who among men knows the thoughts of a man except the spirit of the man which is in him?" No one knows you like your spirit knows you. I don't know the deepest recesses of your life. You don't know the deepest recesses of my thoughts and my life. You should say amen to that. You don't want to know. But the part of you that knows the deepest thoughts that you have is your spirit. God is spirit, and the Holy Spirit knows his deepest thoughts. When he created us in his image, he gave us a spirit, and the spirit, just as God's spirit knows the deepest thoughts of him, so our spirit knows the deepest thoughts of who we are. Now watch the end of verse 11. "Even so, the thoughts of God no one knows except the Spirit of God. So I have my spirit. It knows my thoughts. You don't know my deepest thoughts. God has a spirit. I don't know the thoughts of God, but the Holy Spirit knows the deepest thoughts of God." And now verse 12, it says, "Now we have received not the small s spirit of the world, but the capital S spirit who is from God, so that we may," what? know the things freely given to us by God. You know what God does? When that gate is open between us, he can take his deepest thoughts about what I'm walking through in life, and he can take those thoughts and he can transport them into my deepest thoughts. So God can actually tell me how to handle this financial situation that I'm facing, how to improve this relationship, how to find a better ladder to success in my walk with him, how to overcome temptations, how to find victories where I used to find defeats. Because the deepest thoughts of God about how life should work can be now communicated to the deepest thoughts of who, of deepest part of who I am, because his spirit now is in me. My encouragement to you is, as we go through this summer, let's make space for the assistance of the Holy Spirit. Let's look to God for growth this year. I put down there in your notes, connect more deeply with your Maker this summer. There's a level that you haven't achieved yet in your depth of your relationship with God. Let me encourage you, pursue that depth. Make sure that the gate between God's spirit and your spirit is open. And create maybe a new spiritual habit. Maybe prayer or scripture memory or witnessing or worshiping or Bible study or solitude or silence. Maybe as the Muslims are celebrating Ramadan, maybe we could spend a season this summer fasting. Because fasting is a great habit to have as a Christian, where maybe I give up physical food, and when I feel the pains of hunger, it reminds me to pray, and so I spend that meal time in prayer instead of eating, and it draws me closer to God. Perhaps I can fast from a habit or a hobby, and I can say, God, the things that the time I spent on that, I'm going to now spend with you so that this gate can be open. I know this summer, as we encourage you to sign up for home groups, and we're going to be studying the topic of prayer, we're actually going to be taking a few minutes at the end of each of the home studies to pray together. And I know that for many, that might be a new spiritual experience. It might be difficult to have the courage to pray to God with a group. But maybe that's where God's going to push you this summer. Maybe that's the habit that he's going to encourage you to jump into. So let me encourage you to keep the gate open, to make space for the assistance of the Holy Spirit, to connect more deeply with God. Because the quality of your personal relationship with God is the single greatest determining factor in the quality of your life or your home. There's a lot of important things to live life properly, but on the top of the stack is the quality of your personal relationship with God. It's the single most determining factor to the quality of your personal life and your home. Let me encourage you this summer to keep the gate open. Number two. Let me encourage you to slow to a walk, to slow to a walk. We often run so fast, and I want to take you back to the Old Testament. I love the Old Testament. Let's go to the third book of the Bible. Let's go to the book of Leviticus. How many of you ever studied in depth the book of Leviticus? How many of you can even say Leviticus? Turn to your neighbor and say Leviticus. Leviticus chapter 23. God is freeing the people of Israel from the land of Egypt, and as they're wandering through the desert for 40 years, God's preparing them to give them their own promised land, and Moses is instructing the people of Israel on what to do once they get into the promised land. And Leviticus chapter 23 talks about a ceremony or a celebration that God wants the people of Israel to engage in. Leviticus chapter 23, verse 39. It says, on exactly the 15th day of the seventh month, when you have gathered in the crops of the land, you shall celebrate the feast of the Lord for 7 days. With a what? Rest on the first day and a rest on the eighth day. Now on the first day you shall take for yourselves the foliage of beautiful trees and palm branches and boughs of leafy trees and willows of the brook, and you shall rejoice before the Lord your God for 7 days. You shall celebrate this as a feast to the Lord for 7 days in the year. It shall be a perpetual statute throughout your generation. So God is saying, I want you to start this feast, and I want you to do it every year. Every year from every generation forward, I want this feast to take place for 7 days. It shall be celebrated on the 17th month. In the seventh month. Look at verse 42. You shall live in booths for 7 days. All the native born in Israel shall live in booths, so that your generation may know that I had the sons of Israel live in booths when I brought them out of the land of Egypt. I am the Lord your God. What is God doing here? God is asking the people of Israel, in essence, to go camping. He wants them to live in a booth, a tent, for 7 days. Now, when they were going through the wilderness, they literally lived in tents. And the early years of the promised land, they lived in tents during this celebration. Later on, as the cities became full, you might put the tent up in the backyard, and for 7 days, you had dinner in the tent. Here was the idea. The idea was very simple. Life has been going so fast. There's the planting, and there is the caretaking of your crops, and then there's the massive work of the harvest. And so on this particular celebration, which was the last of the seven celebrations, the harvest is done. The work is over. Now I want you to get out of your normal routine, and I want you to leave your normal place of habitation, and I want you to go live in a tent for 7 days. And I want you to celebrate. And what God would do is he would have the people of Israel put up this tent or booth, and then on the inside of this booth, they would put up different symbols of God's blessing this last year so that they would remember the blessings of God. And the point was very simple. God wanted them to retreat so they could reflect, so they could renew their commitment to him. He wanted them to retreat out of their normal routine. He wanted them to retreat out of their normal place of habitation so that they could just reflect and get refreshed. You'll notice this celebration had a day of rest at the beginning and a day of rest at the end, and in between 6 days of celebration. It was a great feast. It's a time to get refreshed, a time to reflect, and then a time to renew. And let me encourage you, our life is going so fast that this time of year, many of us are wore out and weary. You've been raising those kids, getting them to school and to this practice and to that practice. You've been studying so hard at college, and now you're coming home. You've been working so hard at your job, and now summer is here, and you're looking forward to a little reprieve. Let me encourage you, slow life down to a walk. Participate in some of the great symbolism of the Bible. Find a place to retreat so that you can reflect and you can renew. I was reading a book the other day, and the author said this phrase, this sentence that made me stand up and take notice. He said, quote, "We live such fast-paced lives that we live off the spirituality of others." Have you ever found yourself doing that? When you go to work in the morning, you turn on Christian radio and you listen to the nuggets of wisdom and spiritual growth that other people have dug out of God's word. You pull that book off your shelf and you read about what the author has gone into God's word and pulled out for his life or her life. And we've been living a life so fast that we don't have time to dig into God's word ourselves and ask God's Spirit to give us nuggets that we can pull out, and instead we rely upon the spirituality of others to feed us, simply because our life is going too fast. So let me encourage myself, let me encourage you to slow life down this summer, to slow to a walk. Plan a way to retreat. Get out of your normal routine. Leave your normal place of habitation. Get around somewhere, go somewhere, get around people that can remember the blessings of God and what he's done in your life. If we go a couple of books to the right, Moses again is talking to the people of Israel, and he's telling them why God would have them do this. In Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 10, why would God have them retreat so that they can reflect and renew. Why? Verse 10, then it shall come about when the Lord your God brings you into the land which he swore to your fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Now watch this. To give you great and splendid cities which you did not build. To give you houses full of all good things which you did not fill. And hewn cisterns or wells which you did not dig. Vineyards and olive trees which you did not plant. And you eat and are very satisfied. Verse 12, then watch yourself that you do not forget the Lord who brought you away from the land of Egypt and out of the house of slavery. You shall fear only the Lord your God. You shall worship him and swear by his name. One of the ways that we can step back from life and remember how far God has brought us is to slow life down to a walk. And if you can step back from the normal routine and step back from the normal place of habitation with the purpose of saying, God, I want to thank you for where you have brought us this year, and you turn and look behind you, you'll be amazed at how far God has brought you and your family. These last couple of days, there's a group of us here from church. There were 10 of us that have been training and working to climb Mount Shasta. And so on Thursday and Friday, we went to climb Mount Shasta. And when we got to base camp, which is called Helen Lake, it's about 10,500 feet. It's after a very long and grueling hike up a mountain. But when you get to Helen Lake, it's a little ledge on the side of the mountain, and you put your backpack down and you walk out to the ledge and you look down the miles of which you have came. You say to yourself, I can't believe I just walked up that. I can't believe that way down there, miles away, is the parking lot, and 3 miles away is the little cabin that we spent the night in. And then look at these hills. Look at these crazy mountains that we just came up. If I had known it was this hard on the bottom, I may not have come to the top, right? And sometimes in our life, we need to take the time to step back and to say, wow, God, I can't believe how far you've brought us. I can't believe what you've done for us. But if we're always looking forward, if we're always trying to conquer the next mountain, we often don't stop and reflect. And so God told the people of Israel, after all the harvest is done, you've put in the time, now I want you to get away, and I want you to reflect so that you can renew your commitment to me. A feast of booths or the feast of tents. Let me encourage you, slow life down this summer to a walk. Number three, let me encourage you to find a solution. Again, we're going to go back to the book of Psalms, Psalm chapter 119, verse 58 through down through verse 60. All of us have difficulties in our life, and maybe you have multiple difficulties. Perhaps you're trying to solve a problem in your financial life. Perhaps you're trying to solve a relationship issue. And at the same time, you're trying to resolve a health issue. And you're trying to resolve a vocational issue. You're trying to figure out what you're going to do for school next year. You're trying to figure out how to get that girl to like you. You're trying to figure out how to get that guy to stay away from you. You know, trying to solve all these problems in our life. And sometimes we think, wow, there's too many problems. There's too many difficulties. Let me encourage you this summer to pick one and find a solution. How do we do that? Psalm 119, verse 58 through 60. King David is saying, I sought your favor with all my heart. Be gracious to me according to your word. Verse 59, I considered my ways. Now the word consider means to take the object and to look at it from all the different angles. I take the time to consider the problem. I'm not just asking God, God, here's a problem. I don't really understand it, but just solve it for me. No, I'm considering my ways. What is my part in this problem? What is my part in this solution? God, I want you to show me this problem from all different angles so that I can figure out what a solution is. David says, I considered my ways and I turned my feet toward your testimonies. I hastened and did not delay to keep your commandments. Lord, I want to do what you want me to do here. I'll quickly do the solution that you give to me. But Lord, I need help here. I don't know how to solve this Rubik's Cube. But Lord, I'm going to consider it from all angles. If you go one book to the right to the book of Proverbs, Proverbs chapter 14 and verse 15. Says the naive believes everything. The naive believes, you know what? It's all going to work out. It'll all be fine. The naive person says, you know what? Somehow it's all just going to work itself out. I don't need to do anything. That's kind of my personality. When there's a problem, I just first think, oh, it's all going to work out. I don't need to address it. I don't really need to deal with it. Somehow, in the end, everything will be okay. This says that's a naive way to look at life. Verse 15, but the sensible man considers his steps. So Lord, I want to find a solution. I don't want this particular issue to perpetuate itself. I want to get along with my parents better. I want to get better grades in school. I want to be successful at work. I want to get over this bad habit. I want to grow in my relationship with you. God, give me a real solution to one of my problems. A couple more chapters to the right in chapter 23 and verse 3. Proverbs 23 and verse 3. I don't know why that's in there. Do not desire his delicacies, for it's deceptive food. I don't know what that has to do with what we're talking about. So let's go one more book to the right, to Ecclesiastes. I'll have to figure out why that's in there. I was probably hungry when I was doing my sermon notes there. Ecclesiastes chapter 7, verse 14. Oh, that's hilarious. I'll have to look that one up. Ecclesiastes chapter 7, 14 says, in the day of prosperity, be happy. Hey, when life's going good, enjoy it. But in the day of adversity, what? Consider. Look at it. Why is this adversity in my life? What's my part? How do I solve it? Lord, show me. And I'll run to whatever you tell me to do. But this adverse situation, Lord, I need to consider. God has made the one as well as the other, so that man will not discover anything that will be after him. How do we find a solution? I wrote down in your notes, pray, think, act, repeat. Pray. Think more, take another step. Then pray more, think more, and act. Asking God to find a solution to your adversity. May in the next 90 days, you really find victory where there used to be defeat. Maybe not in every area, but Lord, in this area, I want a solution. I need a clear answer. I need a clear direction. And Lord, I'm going to spend time this summer praying and thinking and acting. And then I'm going to pray some more. And I'm going to consider it some more. And I'm going to act. God, bring a solution to one of my adversities. Bring a solution to one of my problems. And then finally, number four, live within the fences. Romans chapter 12, verses 9 through 21. I love this passage in the Bible. It always reminds me of when our kids were little. When our kids were little, they started asking Ruthie and I for a Nintendo game set. Remember those? Nintendo 64. And we kind of put it off, and we put it off, and we put it off, and we put it off. And then as they got a little bit older, they kept asking for it for more and more. And we decided it was time to have a game box in our house. But we decided that we were going to make our kids earn it. And as every good pastor does, the way you earn it is to memorize scripture, right? So we said, okay, when all four of you can recite Romans chapter 12, 9 through 21, without messing up, we will buy a Nintendo. We will get you one. And so they worked at it and worked at it, and they had it on papers pinned up in their rooms, and they thought this was normal. They thought people do this all the time. And so they went for it. But Romans 12, verses 9 through 21 is just a shotgun of thoughts that Paul is throwing out about how to live out your faith in life. Let's look at the list. Verse 9, let love be without hypocrisy. Hey, don't fake love. Don't say you love someone when you don't. Abhor what is evil, cling to what is good. You know, oftentimes as Christian parents, we focus a lot on abhorring what is evil, telling our children the don'ts. But the counterbalance to that is cling to what is good, teaching them to cling to the good things in life and what those things are. Verse 10, be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Tell your four kids to do that every day. Give preference to one another in honor. Not lagging behind in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Rejoicing in hope. Persevering in tribulation, devoted to prayer. Contributing to the needs of the saints. Practicing hospitality. Bless those who bless you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. Be of the same mind toward one another. Do not be haughty in mind, but associate with the lowly. You know, when you see those people that are homeless walking down the street, kids, don't think that you're better than them. And don't be afraid to say hello to them. Associate with the lowly. Do not be wise in your own estimation. Never pay back evil for evil to anyone. Respect what is right in the sight of all men. If possible, so far as it depends on you, be at peace with all men. Never take your own revenge, beloved, but leave room for the wrath of God, for it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. But if your enemy is hungry, what? Feed him. If he's thirsty, give him a drink. For in so doing, you will heap burning coals upon his head. Hey, if you take vengeance for the people that hurt you, then you remove God's vengeance from those people's life. And if you really want to get them back, let God do it. Verse 21, do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. So when all four of our kids memorized this passage of scripture, we were given a used Nintendo 64 by our neighbors and friends. And that was the first machine that was in our house. You know, living within the fences means don't step outside our protection. You know, I used to think that God's rules were to keep me away from all the fun. When I was a young teenager, I thought the don'ts of the Bible are there because God, for some reason, wants Christians to live a boring, unhappy life. And I've come over the years to understand, no, the fences are there to protect us. To protect us from the evil things that are in the world, to protect us from the things, as Hebrews says, that could grab our lives and drag us down. And yes, there's no 100% guarantee that nothing bad will ever happen in my life, but let's not choose to step outside of God's protection. You know, during the summer, we often have more free time. We often maybe have more time alone. And the problem in our culture today, one of the problems, is that the bad things of our culture now come into our home. Before, we used to have to leave our home to go find those influences, and now they're streaming into our home on a constant basis. So if you find yourself with more downtime, more free time, more time alone, let me encourage you to stay true and pure to God's word, to not jump over the fence, and get yourself into things that you don't want to do. And then finally, to make an impact. If I could live like Romans says here, boy, what an impact I would make. And yes, this summer is a time of rest. It's a time of reflection. It's a time when we can step out of the normal routine of life. But let's not forget that it's also a time to make an impact in others. Let's not make this summer just about us, but let's use it as an opportunity to make the impact in other people's lives. Our church has set up some opportunities to do that. Perhaps in your community there's opportunities. In your family there's opportunities to make an impact for the Lord Jesus. Make him famous somewhere this summer. Make an impact for his kingdom. So let me encourage you again. Keep the gate open. Slow down to a walk. Find a resolution. And live within the fences. And you'll make the summer of 2016 a real difference maker in your life and in your walk with God. Let's stand together and pray. Our gracious God in heaven, thank you once again for giving us your instructions that you have clearly laid out in the Bible, the path that be the path of blessing in our life. Lord, you want us to keep that gate open. Thank you for making a way for us to have communion with you, to have an intimate relationship with you. And Lord, some of us here this morning have never opened that door. May today be the day when they sense your knocking on their heart. May they have the courage to open up and say, yes, Jesus, come into my life and be my Lord and Savior. Lord, some of us have done that in the past, but we've kind of shut the door for a while. We've decided to keep you out of our life and to do things our own way. Lord, may we repent of that. May we come back to you. And may we allow you to be who you are. And Lord, as you come into our life, do your healing work. Do your strengthening work. Lord, help us to find time to get away and reflect. Help us to slow down. Help us to find a solution and help us to make an impact and to live within your fences. Thank you for this time in your word. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's sing together.